The Michigan State Legislature begins the process of reviewing and debating the merits and drawbacks of Governor Rick Snyder's budget proposal. Many of his initiatives are not a surprise, with a combination of budget cuts, $1.2 billion, along with a big reduction in the state business tax, $1.8 billion, all within a $45 billion budget. Michigan State University economics professor Charles Ballard explains the details.
You've got to be careful when talking about the $45 billion overall total. Because the deficit that we are hearing about is mostly in the general fund, and the general fund is only about $8 billion. And a lot of the monies that are spent by the state of Michigan actually are, they're just a pass-through of federal dollars, and that means they come in many cases with a whole lot of strings attached. And so the state of Michigan really doesn't have discretion over how to spend it. The general fund, which is mostly prisons, universities, Medicaid, and social services, that's where the big deficit is, and that is, in fact, the part of our budget that's down by far the most in recent years. It's down by more than 40% if you adjust for inflation just in the last decade.
Now, the school aid fund is actually a huge portion of the budget, right?
Right. The school aid fund in Michigan is about $12 billion. It's down from what it was earlier in the decade also, and then some of the cuts will come in the school aid fund. The stuff that comes from the federal government where we don't have any control over it, clearly the governor can't propose changing those expenditures.
And in terms of how the deficit came about,
I think it's important, since a deficit can either come by on the spending side or the taxing side, it's important for people to understand the origin of these deficits. They're driven not by the spending side, but rather by tax revenues. Tax revenues as a percentage of the economy in Michigan are way down. It is true that the economy is a little bit smaller than it used to be, but tax revenues are down way farther than that. In fact, if we were to collect the same percentage of our economy in taxes that we collected a decade ago, we would be collecting, well, last year it would have been almost $9 billion more than we did collect. This year the estimate is between $7 and $8 billion. And when you look at the overall deficit of $1.8 billion, what that means is that if we had slashed tax revenues by only a little bit less, we wouldn't have had a deficit to deal with at all. So I want to really make clear to people where the deficit came from. It came from the fact that we don't collect as much taxes as we used to.
I see. And the primary source of that collection that dried up was...
Well, it's really a whole bunch of things. One is certainly the sales tax, which does not apply to many services and entertainments. And since those are growing more rapidly than the things that are taxed, that means that the sales tax applies to an ever-shrinking portion of the economy. Another one in the sales tax is that because of a U.S. Supreme Court decision, Michigan can't enforce its tax on the sales tax on mail order or internet sales from out of state. You're supposed to pay, the individual is supposed to pay taxes, but most people don't. And that's a rapidly growing revenue loss as well. And then there are a whole bunch of other things. One that Governor Snyder is proposing, and I give him a lot of credit for having the courage to do this. One source of that shrinkage is that we are extraordinarily generous toward retirement income in Michigan. Most Michigan seniors pay no income tax. And as the population gets older, more and more of our people are in an age category where they don't pay any income tax.
Is this, in fact, this idea of taxing pensions, is this a unique approach? How much money is it likely to bring in? And is it fair to tax Michigan seniors on fixed incomes?
In my view, much of the discussion that I hear about people saying, no, we shouldn't do this, it's really not focused on where a lot of the money is. It's really focused on the low-income elderly. And I've got a lot of sympathy for low-income elderly, just as I have a lot of sympathy for low-income working people. But when I look to my retirement and the retirement of many other middle and upper-middle class folks, I'm not going to be close to the poverty line. I've got a lot of retirement savings. I've got a good asset picture, and I think it would be really just wrong for me to not pay any taxes when I retire. Under current law, when I retire, I will suddenly go from paying taxes to the state of Michigan to paying essentially no income tax, and I don't understand why that should be for reasonably affluent people. So one possibility would be for there to be a special exemption to try to protect the low income seniors. But I think Governor Snyder is absolutely right in trying to bring this issue to the fore, because an awful lot of the revenue losses are associated with very affluent seniors. The total estimate that I've seen is that if the governor's proposal were to go through, it would collect about an additional $900 million from the retirement income.
Is Michigan unique in not taxing pensions?
Most states give some sort of tax breaks to some sorts of retirement income, but Michigan is extraordinary. There are no states really that are more generous than we are. There are a couple that are about as generous as we are, but we are way at one end of the spectrum in terms of being very, very generous to seniors. In fact, most Michigan seniors don't pay any income tax. Moreover, Michigan seniors are eligible for a beefed-up homestead property tax credit, such that on net, the seniors in Michigan pay less than nothing in income tax. On net, their effective tax rate has been estimated to be -3.4%.
His proposition then to eliminate the state earned income tax credit, can you in a simple way explain what that is and how would that impact Michigan residents?
The earned income tax credit is a program for low-income working people. There's been a lot of confusion because some people have characterized it as a welfare giveaway. It is not an old-style welfare program. You only get it if you work. If you don't work, you don't get a penny of earned income tax credit. Basically, it subsidizes the wages of low-wage families, and most of that goes to low-income people who have children. President Ronald Reagan when he signed an expansion of the federal earned income tax credit in 1986, he said that the EITC is, quote, the best anti-poverty, the best pro-family, and the best job creation measure to come out of Congress. And I would say that President Reagan was right on the money with that one. It's one of the real successes of policy. The people who receive the EITC in Michigan, the maximum that you would get is if you have some children and you earn less than $21,000. So we're not talking about affluent folks.
What's his rationale for making a move like this?
Well, the governor explains it in terms of freeing up money to continue Medicaid, which is another thing that goes disproportionately to low-income people. My perspective is that the EITC is not the only place where we could come up with money to make sure that we fund Medicaid. Our taxes are way, way down. I know in the current political environment, and especially since many of the folks in the legislature are quite adamant on this issue, I understand that Governor Snyder may not be ever able to do everything that I would like him to do, but I am disappointed at the proposal to remove the EITC.
The $1.2 billion in cuts and program cuts, is that would you consider that a fairly deep cut he's taking?
I think it's pretty deep, especially when you remember that we've already made tremendous cuts. You know, the state employee workforce, if you exclude the corrections department, is now only about half as large as it was when it reached its peak a few decades ago. And many of those programs are being further cut. Many of the wages and the benefits for the state workers are being further cut. We know that education is extremely important, and yet we're seeing very sizable reductions in our education budgets. So I do consider those to be deep cuts, especially in the context where we've already made very large reductions in spending in the last 10 years, much larger than the shrinkage of the private economy.
Snyder administration officials are pushing for the final budget to be approved by the state legislature by June 1st. The governor's budget director, Mark Nixon, predicting a speedy economic recovery for Michigan after that's done. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.